Sorry, welcome to the Commerce Talks podcast, day two in Dubai at the Seamless Conference, and episode number two with an oil company. You're working for Enoch. Please introduce yourself, introduce Enoch.
Well, thank you for having me, Alexander. I've been with Enoch now for over close to 6 years, actually. Yeah, I complete 6 years in October. Enoch's happened completely by chance. So I don't know if you've had some time to see. I used to work in the fashion industry back in the day, and previously
Altaya Group.
Group. Yes, it was a fashion retailer. Before that, I was with MetLife, and then banking and advertising. So I've had a very interesting journey, and Enoch happened by chance is what I like to call it. Came on board to set up the rewards program for Enoch, and the Yes Rewards is what we came up with, launched in 2020. It's a program that actually is the first customer centric fuel rewards program in the region. And I mean, the whole concept behind it was the fact that, you know, fuel no more is the cheapest commodity in the Middle East, and you know, we wanted to ensure that our consumers are engaged with the Enoch brand.
And there's a fixed price, like from the government. There's no pricing competition.
Right? Well, if you look at pricing, we've got the Ministry of Energy that actually sets our prices at the beginning of the month. And there is no pricing competition, but there was and there is competition coming in from the likes of ADNOC, the likes of Emirat. You know, back in the day, our geographies were fairly set. So you had ADNOC in Abu Dhabi and Enoch in Dubai, and Emirat being the federal fueling company. But now markets are opening up, and so is competition. And your customers are only loyal to the ones that they like at the end of the day. And that's the whole concept of it all. Loyalty per se started very differently for us. Fuel, if you know, and being a commodity, had very limited margins, and we had to drive consumers from the fuel to the non-fuel business. And that was where, that's how the whole concept was initially conceptualized. How do we actually take these guys out of the car and into the convenience store or to the car wash? Because, I mean, and there's a huge difference. I don't know, you know, since you're coming from Europe or you live in the United States, you actually pay for your fuel, and if you're a cash customer or if you don't have payment on the pump, you pay for your fuel in the convenience store. So the convenience stores in both these markets see natural footfall and traffic where consumers walk in, and probably, of course, and once you're in the store, you're probably picking up your morning coffee or your croissant or, you know, whatever that you need for the day. But that's not the case over here. And the percentage of cross shop was comparatively less. And there had to be that added incentive to get the consumer out of his car in 45 degrees temperature and walk across to the convenience store. And that's where the whole concept came up, saying, how do we engage with consumers, give them something more, that extra bit to incentivize them to actually make that walk.
For the ones that don't know Enoch, like as a company, can you guide us through the numbers a bit? Like, how many gas stations are you running? How many people are working for Enoch?
Enoch is the Emirates National Oil Company. That's what Enoch stands for. Which you know, previously was also we have called EPCO as a brand, and then transitioned into Enoch, the Emirates National Oil Company. Today, you know, we are over about 220 gas stations and growing rapidly in Dubai, Northern Emirates, which is Ras Al Khaimah, Fujairah, Sharjah, some of the other Emirates that, you know, some of your listeners may not know, because Dubai has been primarily what the world has seen, and Abu Dhabi now. Well, so Enoch, as a brand, owns a convenience store brand called Zoom.
That is always connected to the gas station?
That is not only, yes. So we're connected to the gas station, but we do have freestanding stores, Zoom stores as well. And to add to it, we've got stores inside the metro stations as well. So you've got these Zoom metro stores, which are smaller stores, but cater to the metro traffic in Dubai. And you've got
is a, that anyway, we haven't talked before, but is a metro really a thing? Is it used by many people?
Honestly, it is. You know, when I moved to Dubai, I always wondered how many people actually use the metro. But funnily enough, at the time when I did not have a car, I used the metro for close to 8 months. And unlike many countries, Dubai is metro. I mean, metro is only growing. It's kind of getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, I'm talking about the network of network and the number of stations. But it's a very comfortable metro. I mean, it's air conditioned and it is like the city. You know, I mean, if you've been to Dubai, and I'm sure you've been coming here for a while, fairly comfortable, gets you from A to B pretty quick. And it's peak hours, it's hard to get into the train. So yeah, a lot of users.
Ah, okay. Going back to the structure, so 220 gas station, and every gas station comes with a Zoom.
So, I mean, every gas station does come with a Zoom, but at the same time, we've also got another brand, in-house brand of ours called Auto Pro, which is a car service, oil change, tire change. We've got Pro Wash, which is your car wash.
And how many
brands.
Gas stations do have this kind of
brands? We've got, I think, about 50 gas stations have got Auto Pro as a service. And then we've got something very unique to UAE, which is a brand called Tasjeel. In the West as well, you've got to test the roadworthiness of your car. You know, are your tires okay? Is the engine okay? Emitting pollution and so on and so forth. In UAE, you do that every year.
You have to do?
You have to do it every year. Your car has to be roadworthy,
like certified. The German TÜV. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. And so to ensure that... you know, your car is roadworthy, doesn't have, bad tires, or is not a risk on the road, especially, you know, in a city where temperatures can touch 40, 45, 50 degrees. So we have a brand called Tasjeel, where we actually partner the RTA, which is the Road Transport Authority of Dubai, ensure roadworthiness and testing and license plate issuances and so on and so forth.
Okay.
So that is, again, a brand owned by the MS National Company.
That explains why in Dubai you don't see like any crappy cars on the street. They all look rather decent.
You have to have your cars maintained. I mean, you would be, there would be fines if you don't, and you would not be allowed to take that car down on the road because you'd be a risk to yourself and a hazard to others.
Okay. Understanding the structure, like, and the Auto Pro thing, the Zoom shops, the gas station. And now, I see on your LinkedIn profile, head of loyalty since 2017. So has the whole loyalty thing started in 2017 with you?
No. So yeah, actually, I was brought on board to build the loyalty program, and we launched at the worst time possible. We launched November 2020. And so, as I think everybody knows, what happened down 2019, 2020 were years of the COVID, which impacted all of us severely. We had no cars on the road.
What did COVID mean in car traffic? So how much less gas was consumed?
It'll be hard for me to say how much gas was consumed. But honestly speaking, there were no cars on the road. At that time, there were no cars on the road. And I personally was in panic because we planned to go live that year. And as you know, we had marketing budgets behind it. We had put down a lot of time, money, effort on building the whole program. And we wondered how this program would launch. And honestly, I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, it was a big launch in November 2020. We actually gave away two cars as sign-up lucky draws and stuff like that. And there was a lot of excitement along with the inaugural. And, the program launched 2020. It's now been close to 3 years, and, it's been a very steady growth, close to 1 million members.
Can you explain the program? So what do you promise? What is the incentive to sign up for the Enoch card, the Enoch Plus?
So the Enoch program is known as the Yes Rewards program.
Yes Rewards.
Yes Rewards. Yeah. We've got a very positive tagline. It simply says, say yes to more every day. You know, we wanted to keep it positive. There's an incentive for customers to sign up. We had a sign-up bonus of 500 points when you actually sign up or downloaded the app. If you wanted to sign up in-store, you could. And it was a very simple, seamless process of literally giving up your mobile number and your name at the POS, and we would trigger you a message to download the app. It's an app-based program. There is no physical card. And in today's day and age, less, I mean, with, I don't know how many programs you have and how many cards you have in your wallet, it's easier to get consumers to use an app. We've got an incentive, I would say a percentage back on fuel. We reward based on a liter, not on money spent. But we give about 2 to 5% back in the convenience store and, about 2 to 3% in the car wash business. And these are our standard earns. So as far as I think, you look at the programs in the region, we probably give our consumers back the most. Our standard earn and burn rate is very, very lucrative for consumers to join.
But you said that it's a low margin business, the fuel business. You're dependent that the rewards people are getting is then spent in the convenience or car wash business, where I guess there's higher margins compared to fuel.
So I mean, the way
could people spend the rewards for fuel?
Instant earn and burn, Alex. Instant earn and burn. We've kept it fairly simple. So one of the biggest challenges I see with a lot of reward programs is the fact that you add rules and regulations based on the commercials of your business, and which I would say restricts consumers from using them. And at the end of the day, if your consumer is coming back to you saying, yeah, I'm not enjoying this, then there's no reason for you to exist. As simple as that. We don't have any blackouts. We have no restrictions. It's instant earn and burn. You can actually earn for fuel and instantly redeem those points in the gas
instant
station.
Instant earn and burn. It's a nice tagline.
I mean, you can.
I will have to write it down. I am collecting taglines from the podcast. Go on.
So yeah, you can earn points in the gas station and use them in the convenience store, or you could earn points in the convenience store and use them to fill your car. The margins are specified and they're kind of vary based on the business which issues those points. But having said that, we've got a lot of offers which we give back to our consumers on. For example, we could double your points if you fuel on a 98 octane versus a 95. Or we run a...
Do you have your own performance product? I also already talked with
Higher octane.
Yeah, but because you said, I don't know if you like in the European market, Shell introduced a product called Shell Ultimate. It was higher octane, 98, and some additives, and then they charge like 50% more.
No, so we do have higher octane. So we've got 91, 95, 98, but the cost of it doesn't vary like it does in Europe. No, we do sell additives separately, but no, as far as the pricing of these three octane versions of fuel, I would say, concerned, no, there is, of course, a price difference between 91 and a 98 octane.
Yeah.
But it doesn't vary like that. We would, of course, like our consumers to have to fill the 98 octane, because not only is it good for your car, it gives you a better thrust. But it's also good for your engine. So, you know, there's a bit of a misconception saying, oh, is there a big difference between a 95 and a 98 octane? Of course, a 98 octane fuel is cleaner and is better.
But before the loyalty program started, which you launched in November 2020, there must have been like a digital ecosystem in Enoch, right? Can I order stuff on the Enoch app, like in a BOPIS model?
Right. So, previously, no. Are we building that now? Yes. Now, the whole concept of the loyalty program at the time was to start collecting customer data, because back in the day, you know, again, oil and gas has been seen as a legacy industry, especially in this region. It is something that existed since, I think, the Middle East was founded on principles of oil and gas, right from, you know, if you look at Saudi Arabia, you know, UAE or Kuwait or Qatar, or all of these countries, right? When you think Middle East and anywhere else in the world, your first thing in your mind is, you know, oil and gas. But this, let's say, digital revolution or change or realization that we need to kind of, you know, change, I would say has come second to the retail environment and the government of Dubai changing as well. You know, that's when we realized the fact that we know we needed to adapt to that change. Our consumers had started to adapt to that change, right? I wouldn't say Enoch or any of us would be the first ones to actually bring that change. No, I mean, today your consumers are on mobiles and using mobile technology Your consumers were trained by other industries. I mean, if you look at the government of Dubai today, I think they're one of the most forward, tech-savvy government anywhere globally. And that has sort of brought that need for us to also keep pace, if not be also a trendsetter in the space. And it was a big challenge for us because at the time it was, you know, one is getting technology and the other is changing mindset. And we had to adapt as an organization. Of course, there was a lot of technical enhancements, ordering stuff on the app. No, not today. We haven't gotten to that stage yet, but are we working and will we be launching that pretty soon? Yes, of course.
So then was it also like the first digital project where you'd could gather customer data? So before you didn't know who was buying?
So we had a very interesting product, which we launched, I think, way before my time. And I think that has set a benchmark for many other companies today. We had something called VIP. It stood for Vehicle Identification Pass. And what it basically was and is today is a tag that is put on your fueling, the side of your car where you actually fuel.
Yeah.
And our fuel pumps had nozzles which would identify the consumer. And you could top up your account and go through with a cashless transaction. So, yes, we identified the car way before. And the car was linked to a consumer's account.
Okay.
Right? So you could actually top your car up, forget your wallet at home, drive to any gas station. He would open your car up.
But before you started, before you came coming in, and loyalty obviously is like a very digital infrastructure, how many people took care about like digital identification process, like the VIP stuff or newsletter campaigns?
Are you talking about customer adaptation?
Yeah, just checking on funny websites, like 9,000 employees. So how many of those employees were focusing on like customer focus?
Of course not. I mean, when you're saying 9,000 employees, that's across the entire board, right? But if you looked at the downstream side, I mean, let's say our retail network, VIP picked up space, especially in the fleet side. So, you know, wherever you had fleet and corporate accounts, it became the easiest thing to do. You could actually create a company and have all your drivers, you know, it could be Dubai Taxi or Uber. But Uber today is more individual. So you had a B2C and a B2B variant. The adaptation, the conversion on the B2C side at the time was comparatively small, of course, because, you know, people didn't know what it was. Did it make sense or should I just tap my car? No, why do I need to get a tag in my car? But it was the fleets that actually picked it up because for them, it made their life easy, right? You didn't have to give physical cards to your drivers saying, oh, this is your corporate fueling card and then, you know, reconcile and all of it. But then VIP, once you actually experience that product and which I happen to get because I work for Enoch, I think for me personally, I think it was the best non-loyalty program that we would have ever had, right? Because once you're a VIP customer, trust me, you would not leave and go fuel anywhere else.
But can you share a bit more like on the competitive landscape? So is there like,
I mean,
20 other gas station companies competing for the same customer here?
So it's not. And which is, I mean, we've been fortunate about it. But again, it's changed now. So yes, we've got the Abu Dhabi National Oil Company, that's ADNOC, which is now fairly aggressive in Dubai and the Northern Emirates. You've got Imarat, which is the federal entity. And we are three entities here fighting for the same customer. But again, geographically, we're still sort of in different cities. But again, if you drive in the UAE, the distance between Abu Dhabi and Dubai can be covered in an hour. So we're very, very close to each other now. And the footprint is only getting stronger and bigger. And the consumer's got a lot more choice. And
a friend of mine who's running a gas station in Germany told me that, you know, the selling gas, that's not the core business. It's like it's the grocery, whatever you're selling in the store. That's where you make the money from. But gas brings you the frequency.
Is your anchor. It's absolutely true because gas is your anchor, right? Gas and petrol will always be your anchor in the petrol station.
Yeah.
But is that going to make you if you look at the margin on fuel versus the margin on non-fuel, I mean, there you cannot even compare it, right? It's your car washers that have got the additional margins. It's your convenience store, your, you know, coffee that you sell in your convenience store. The food that you sell in the convenience store is where the margins are, right? And you're talking anything between, you know, 40 to 80% margins on food versus very limited margins on fuel. But again, fuel is your anchor and it drives the volumes. And I mean, your core business will always be fuel for a gas station.
And you said already though, also we are like in an oil producing geography. It's not like super cheap anymore, but does it also lead to a different cars that are bought here. That are people really looking into car gas consumption for car and buy a car? I see a lot of like Nissan Petrol,
high gas consumption V8s.
Yeah,
yeah. So I'll tell you, the Middle East has always been fond of cars, right? And it's something that people have always liked. I think in comparison to Europe or the US, fuel is still cheaper here. If you see a mindset, no, I mean, I wouldn't say there's been too much of a shift in terms of, I've seen the number of V8s go down, and people have become more cautious about the fact that the fuel economy is important. I mean, if you look at a lot of the Ubers today, or you look at Dubai taxis as well, a lot of them have actually moved to hybrids. So hence, economy is being looked into. It's not that, it's not the same. But I mean, if you look at the Middle East car enthusiast, you would see, I think, the highest number of supercars and
It's crazy. Just yesterday, when we came out of a club, so there are cars like parked, like 5 out of 10 cars were cars like where each car I've never seen in Berlin or Hamburg like in a year. It's like in front of every club.
It surprised me when I moved. Yeah, I mean, the cars on the street are exciting. If you're and somebody who's a car lover, I think it's exciting to see a lot of these vehicles on the road. And you look at the G Wagons and the Mercedes, and I mean, these are just a few names, but
I think that the Brabus G-Wagon I've never seen in my life before. Here you see it at every hotel, and I think they must sell like the whole production into the region.
I've seen some very interesting Bugattis as well, which I have never seen anywhere else in the world. But yeah, I mean, this is a car, I would say, fanatic market. People love their cars here. I mean, they'll if you go into any Enoch gas station, and if you go to the car wash, you would see a line, and people love their cars just the way, you know, it's a hobby for them. They keep them so beautifully, you know, cleaned and shining.
Do supercar owners drive their supercars themselves into the car wash?
I would say yes. Yes.
So it's kind of a community thing.
It is a community thing, and it's a love for your car. You know, it's a fondness for your vehicle where you actually take care of it. And it's a passion, right? So it's like, you know, if you were a photographer, would you clean your camera the way and clean it and take care of it yourself? I guess, yeah. And, it's the same mindset, you know, people, we see the kind of traffic we have in the gas stations here, especially in the car wash, or, you know, it amazes me. I've not seen that anywhere else.
How many Enoch customers have registered for the loyalty program?
I mean,
for
the sake of data protection, I can't give you exact numbers. We're close to a million.
Close to a million.
I mean, if you're looking at the UAE population, which is 10 million for the whole of UAE.
And all of them have cars? Most of them?
Most of them, yes, would have cars. There are people who are actually, you know, live close to a gas station and use the convenience store regularly.
There could be people without a car.
Unlike, and this is something very different to the West or maybe even the East, the convenience store here is very unique. If you see the number of SKUs or the product line that we have in the convenience store versus what you would see in the West or many other places, we are very elaborate and the number of SKUs are far larger. What we call a convenience store here is very gray because our customers expect us to have everything. I mean, and Dubai is a city like that where consumers are trained. They've been spoiled. And the difference between a convenience store and a grocery store next to your house is very, very gray. So, you know, Zoom could be your go-to store. If it's near your house, whether it's in a gas station and you drive or not, does not matter. You could actually be going there and picking up your essentials versus going down to, you know, let's say a bigger grocery store outside.
Okay. Is there any way you're using standard online marketing tactics to gain new customers?
Absolutely.
Does it make sense somehow for you?
So traditional tactics, I don't think have died out. It does make sense. One is online and one is offline.
Yeah, but walk me through like a customer winning journey. You won't bid for the keyword gas station, Dubai. That doesn't make sense.
And no, then, I think a lot of it is programmatic. We would look at consumers that are looking at fuel, looking at loyalty, maybe cashback cards and so on and so forth. But other than that, you know, anybody who's looking at grocery stores and so on and so forth, you know, if you're going to a Carrefour, market, you can probably come to a Zoom market or a Choithram, as we spoke about earlier. So, I mean, we do have a lot of, let's say, spend on digital, but I wouldn't say we would just do it alone as a rewards program. We would tie it in well with our convenience store, with our automotive car wash brands. We have talked about now creating a subscription model, a car subscription model for car wash, a car subscription model for your car servicing. A similar thing for our coffee brands, in Zoom, you know, where you can pick up your coffee and, subscribe for it and, it becomes a destination. And that's, I think creating that destination is very critical for us, right?
But it's like, your colleague from Etnog that it's like, it's usually not a destination that is like the end of your journey. It's just like part of the journey. You'd like
it's part of your journey, right? And I'm happy if it's part of your journey. Okay. If it's on your way to work and you say that I pick up my morning coffee in this Zoom store that comes on my way to work, the fact that you remember to go there every morning and we are a part of your life, we are happy with that. And on top of that, if I'm able to identify you, see your likes, see your dislikes, what are your preferences? Or what do you like? Which kind of coffee do you like? Or maybe what is the next best thing that you would like to have with that coffee? Could be a bottle of water. It could maybe, you know, a small sandwich on your way to work. I think that's where we engage with you and develop that relationship with the customer. And we know that, let's say, you drive to a gas station. You probably fuel with us. You pick up your morning snack at our Zoom store. Can I engage with you to wash your car as well? Or can I get you to buy a car insurance or change your tires? So we want to be able to kind of engage with you in at least your automotive journey and your way home on your way to work and back so that we do become your preferred brand of choice. And also offer other partnerships eventually, which are outside of the Enoch or let's say in our network, you know, so that we can help you or provide a better, you know, engaging experience for you outside of the Enoch network, right? So it could be discounts in restaurants, could be a hotel partnership that gives you better room rates, or it could simply be a co-branded credit card that we recently launched that gives you cash back and where you can convert your spends outside in retail to spends in fuel, so you can kind of reduce your fueling costs.
Okay, got it. So loyalty program up and running now since 3 years, very successful, 1 million customers. So must be one of the most successful loyalty programs in the region, I guess.
I think I would be too pompous to say something like that. I'm not sure whether we are the most successful loyalty programs. I mean, there are the big boys here, I don't know
a bigger one.
No, I mean, Emirates is one of the biggest in the region. Yeah. And I think they've set a benchmark for reward programs. And I'm sure there are other programs that, that provide a very, very great seamless experience. And we've got a lot to do. We've got a lot in terms of, you know, providing a more, let's say, I would say a better payment and seamless experience. So one of them being, consumers being able to actually scan a product in store, pay for it on the phone, take that product and check out. It was like a simple self-checkout model using your phone and the app without having to interact with any cashier and giving a very seamless experience to the consumer. So okay. These are things that we have been talking about and how, you know, like things like subscription, of course, but how do we use the app and technology to enhance that experience? But there are various challenges, you know.
How many people are working now? You don't know, don't need to share exact numbers, just ballparks, working now for on the digital experience, customer experience side from.
I mean, so I would say if you look at the marketing side, we would be, there are different various teams. So AutoPro has their own brand team. And then you've got the digital teams coming in from our retail marketing side. And so we would be about 6, 7, or 8 people looking at different brands overall. We also work with a ton of agencies that support us in this journey. We've got a loyalty provider that kind of powers our back end, and then you've got a CRM stack that we work on as well.
Okay, last question. What are the things you're looking forward to accomplish then in 2023? Next big launches?
Payments, and
then you're the right conference, I would say.
Self-checkout.
Self-checkout, like you've just explained with
yes.
the product.
We want to be able to enhance the customer journey with loyalty payments integrated into one application, and making sure that the Yes application is your one single go-to application when you walk into Fuel with us. So we want to be as relevant in the consumer's life and give that very, very seamless experience to them.
Sorry, thank you for your time and all the information on Enoch.